This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Tuesday. Today on the radio show, let's just see. It's Tuesday, so we got Chris Harrington straight up, 10 o'clock, no surprise there. And Fish on Friday on Tuesday. Our man in Washington, D.C., will join us in the second hour. Programming note, Jeffrey, we do have Super Bowl advertising expert Tim Calkins now scheduled for, I believe it's his 76th year in a row. He'll be doing the show Friday for us, previewing Super Bowl advertisements. Have you seen any Super Bowl advertisements yet? You know, in advance, because they're released the way they are.
So I've not seen Super Bowl ads, but what I have seen is, and I think I'd mentioned this to you, during conference championship week, I started seeing like teaser ads for, and then they would like at the end of the ad, it would see like coming the date of the Super Bowl, like be paying attention. So honestly, Jeff, it's one of my favorite segments of the year. I love it.
I like ads. It's funny. Like, I don't like ads all year long, but I do like Super Bowl ads. And given that we have to tolerate the frickin' Chiefs every year, it's really probably what I look forward to the most from the Super Bowl. And so, obviously, that is coming up this Sunday. We'll have Tim on Friday. I confirmed that yesterday. And again, today we got Chris Harrington straight up, 10 o'clock. And Fish on Friday on Tuesday.
Also, Aaliyah texted me this morning. So yeah. Aaliyah needed to know if we were going to have Charles today because she's very, very into the tariffs conversation.
Well, okay. Here's the problem with the tariffs conversation. When I have Fishman on, we do talk about the events of the day. And world events and everything else. And people may not believe this, but I try to talk about those things. And also, it tends not to be deeply political, right? Because I know there are half of you believe one thing, half of you believe another thing. There's very few places where you can go where you're not getting some, it feels like, highly slanted view of the world. And so, honestly, with Fishman, I try to steer us away from that a little bit, right? And the problem is it's really hard to talk about this tariff stuff without sort of analyzing the policy.
A worldview.
You know. Here's the truth. The truth of the matter is obviously yesterday we mentioned glancingly the tariffs. And then since then, the tariffs with Mexico and Canada – just in time for the avocados for Mexico.
You're not going to start.
They've been
game.
Paused. They've been paused. Now, the tariffs from China have not been paused. They've gone into effect, I think, today, right? Is that right? Or Tuesday at 5, whatever it is. They have not been paused. But the other two have been paused. So depending on who you're listening to, this was either capitulation by Mexico and Canada, or this was capitulation by Trump. And either Trump extracted things from Mexico and Canada that he either would not have otherwise gotten, or this was just nonsense. They were just giving symbolic things to Trump so he would back down because he knew the truth of the matter, this is true. Whether you are liberal or conservative, the Wall Street Journal is one of the most conservative editorial pages out there. And they yesterday wrote an editorial calling this the dumbest trade war ever. So I don't think there's not a lot of people out there or a lot of economic experts on either side of this who think a trade war is a good idea, right? So that part...
Most economists are pretty against tariffs in general.
All kind of against it, yes. And maybe select in certain circumstances, sure. Whatever. And so it's really hard to talk about this without getting into the politics of it a little bit. And so I'm a little wary of it, but we'll see how we sort through it in the second hour. Jeffrey, the good news is, or bad news, I'm offended. Did you see that we are, once again, I don't know what we were last year, in the Barrett Media, whatever, rankings.
Barrett Sports Media.
Yeah. We are number 8 in the country in midday shows. Now, the weird thing about 92.9 is it appears we have 3 midday shows. Like, we got my midday show, followed by Jason and John's midday show, followed by your midday show. Like,
I'm hoping my midday show moved to the afternoon.
Our cup runneth over when it comes to midday shows. And I don't know what we were last year, but this year we're 8. And I pretended to be offended. I'm going to remember the names of the 7 mm-hmm. that are ahead of us, Jeffrey. But the way I look at it is, with the AAC schedule,
yep.
it's hard to move up.
Yep.
We can win every single day, and we do. And it's impossible to move up.
Well, and much like the Chiefs, Jeff, we're a victim of our own success. Everyone's looking to nitpick us.
Yeah, everyone's looking to nitpick us.
We got too much tape out there.
Too much damn tape out there. Anyway, so there you go. We did have – there was more news in the world locally yesterday as we got the Dr. Marie Fagan's lawsuit has been filed. And what's interesting about the lawsuit – lots of things interesting about the lawsuit. But one of the interesting things about the lawsuit is it doesn't really go into the ostensible reasons for firing her at all. Doesn't say this true, this isn't true, whatever else. What it says, and I'll be honest, a lawsuit's just accusations. That's all it is. There's the fact that you can assert something in a lawsuit which can be 100% untrue. It's simply an assertion. Your view of the facts or view of reality, which may or may not comport with actual reality. But basically, the lawsuit says that they've been trying to fire her and knew they were going to fire her since August, and that the fix was in long ago, that school board members were telling people that they were going to fire her, and that, in fact, they violated the Sunshine Laws, the laws about getting together to talk about stuff in secret, which you're not allowed to do as public officials, by doing all of this secretly. And I have to say, Jeffrey, has the real truth to me. I don't believe they just came up with this for the first time at the school board meetings. So yeah, it did have the ring of truth to me. You can read the story at the Daily Memphian. What did you think?
Yeah, I was with you. It's like, I mean, I also am basing that largely on how they behaved throughout this entire process, and it did feel like they already knew what they were doing.
They knew where they were headed.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's the law. Again, purely an allegation, purely a series of allegations. You can read the story for yourself over at the Daily Memphian. We do have a lot of sports to talk about today, starting with the Memphis Grizzlies. I'll call them the rampaging Memphis Grizzlies. Somehow, Jeffrey, they have won 9 out of 10. I don't mean somehow, because I think we know how they've done it. But I don't think either nationally or locally we have focused quite enough on how blazingly hot through whatever else is happening, the rest of the NBA is being upended. Ja plays or doesn't play. Like, all of this stuff happens. And the Grizzlies have won 9 of 10. They are now 34-16 after 50 games. They are, in the entire NBA, they are fourth, the fourth best record in the entire NBA. They are now a game and a half up on Houston. They have been absolutely sensational with a constantly rotating cast of characters. So we will get to that. We'll play highlights in a second. I did want to start with the really gripping moment last night when a fan collapsed before the game began, and there were the emergency workers giving him CPR literally on the court as the players, obviously shaken, understandably shaken, gathered in prayer, and the fans throughout the arena stood silent as you're literally watching a man's life in the balance. We don't have a definitive report on what has happened and how he is doing, whether he survived, whether he is, and we won't speculate on that. There's certainly, it's the man's life and the man's privacy. I'll say this. If I were to collapse like that, Jeffrey, I think I'd want to be either in an emergency room would be best, right? But at a FedEx Forum where there are medical professionals right there,
yep,
is in fact, I mean, it was a dramatic, stunning, tragic, sad, gripping, whatever you want to say, scene. But the truth is, probably not a bad. I mean,
yeah, totally agree with you. There's trained professionals, and not only that, there's
skilled professionals who are right there. You're also close to the emergency, like you're right there in the heart, close to the medical centers. You've got everything you could possibly want or need there. I mean, it was sort of the DeMar Hamlin situation, except for it wasn't one of the participants in the game. It was a fan. But it was, I mean, I saw people commenting, hard to focus on a basketball game after that. And I would agree, not that we should always need reminders to keep things in perspective, but my gosh, that was certainly put everything in perspective. They paused the game to had 20 minutes so the players could warm up again. And that the game commenced. And obviously we have great gratitude for the medical professionals who were there to leap to his assistance and, praying for him and for his family. Taylor Jenkins, after the game, asked fans and Memphians to do that as well. So that was a gripping moment last night, and we'll hope for the best for him. As for the Grizzlies, they just keep rolling, man. They just keep rolling. No Dez. He's out with a foot strain. Ja was back. They beat the Spurs, because that's what they do, 128-109. You know what? Let's play some highlights.
Let's do it, Jeff.
Start with Ja.
Morant will launch a right-wing three behind a screen, knocks it down, ring it up, put three on the board. Ja Morant has all five Grizzly points. It's 6-5 San Antonio, 9:52 remaining here in the first quarter.
Good sign.
Yeah, people wondered.
Knocked down his first two shots.
I'm interrupting Elliot. People wondered if how it would go. First of all, whether Ja would play. Obviously, he'd been upgraded to questionable. He did play. And then I remember I was asked by Jason and John, I was on their show yesterday, how we think it's going to go. Like, and a legit question, totally legit question. I think people have been worried about Ja Morant, including Taylor Jenkins mentioned, gotta get Ja going. Well, from the jump yesterday, it was Wemby and Ja going back and forth. Ja immediately comes out and is like, okay, I think this could work out okay. And oh, by the way, how would he work with Jaren? That worked out okay, too. Here's little Jaren.
Maybe had too much heat on it. Morant kicks it out for Jackson. Left wing three try for Jaren is good. Ring it up. Put three on the board. Morant will pick up his first assist, and it's 11-8. San Antonio with the lead in the ball. 8:28 remaining here in the first quarter.
Jaren finished with 25. 31. I'm sorry. Jaren finished with 31. Ja finished with 25. That is only the third time this year that both players popped 25 points. It's the 10th time, this according to Drew Hill, the Daily Memphian, it's the 10th time that they both topped 20. That's the question. That was the question. Okay, Jaren has become the man. How is it going to work if Jaren is the man? And I'll be honest, I wasn't that worried about it. These guys are not, neither one is a selfish basketball player who would seem to begrudge the other one being really, really good. I think Grizz fans and I think the players themselves probably are heartened by the fact that they both are really, really good. Let's play these next two Ja threes.
But they're not going to review it. Grizzlies will get it back. Good defense by Wells. Morant gives for Aldama. He works it in on Barnes. Back to Morant, right sideline. Pump fakes a three, steps back, fires as Castle flies by and hits. Ring it up. Put three on the board, and the timeout taken by the San Antonio Spurs and Mitch Johnson. Aldama gets a left wing feed, doesn't take the three, drives in the lane. Hanks kicks it out to Wells. Pass was slow to get there. Wells, a cross court feed to the left corner for Morant. He'll launch another three. Got another one. Ja Morant making his return. 4 of 4 from the field, 3 of 3 from three. He's got 11, and it's 15-14, Spurs by one.
Yeah, Ja was terrific. 25 points, 11 assists. So yesterday, we talked about with Chris Harrington about two players who were kind of finding their way, struggling a certain way. One of them was Zach Edey. Here's Zach Edey.
Second-year pro drives baseline, kicks it out to the right side. Pippen actually intercepted it, drops it off for Edey in the lane for a two-handed jam. I think that pass was actually intended for Aldama. Pippen actually intercepted it and dropped it to Edey, who was wide open, and dunks home his second basket of the night, 23-21 Grizz.
So Zach Edey was one, and Gigi Jackson was the other. Here's Gigi Jackson.
90 seconds remain here in the first half. Pippen at the top around a Gigi Jackson screen. Spins it, Chris Paul. Kicks it out for Gigi Jackson. Launches a three. Ring it up. Put three on the board. 28-26. Grizzlies by two.
And that's a guy we hope that can start getting his rhythm, Eric. You're talking about a guy who can put points on the board with his length and ability to handle the basketball. It's an added addition.
Start getting his rhythm. I think Elliott asked for. He had his rhythm. 27 points for Gigi Jackson off the bench. Obviously, with no Dez, no Brandon Clark either. But without any Dez, he got the opportunity, took advantage of it. 27 points, 11 of 20 from the field, 4 of 9 from 3. Nice to see Gigi Jackson have the kind of game in the context of a winning effort against a good team surrounded by other good players, things that we didn't see last year. Gigi still with 27. That was a highly, highly reassuring performance from Gigi last night. Jaren still the star of the show. Let's play these next two Jaren highlights.
Jackson straight away gets a feed from Pippen, launches a three, ring it up, put three on the board. Stephon Castle ran into Jackson's shoulder, and Jaren Jackson Jr. adds his second triple of the night. A 9-0 Grizzly run has them up by 8, 34-26 with 18 seconds remaining. Gives for Kennard. Kennard over to the left side on the wing for Jaren Jackson. Downhill at Barnes and Bassey. Floats it up and in. Gets fouled and he'll get one more. And the Grizzlies starting to impose their will a little bit. 49-37. They'll get subs into the game with Morant, Wells, and Gigi Jackson.
Jaren Jackson Jr. last two games against Giannis and Wemby. Against Giannis, it was 35-7. Against Wemby, it was 31-6-3. And people wondered how he would do with Ja, like it's some great mystery. Here's Ja and Jaren combining on a bucket.
Wesley. Wesley's lob into the lane is deflected and stolen by the Grizzlies. Kennard ahead to Morant. Morant stops at the foul line. Drops it behind the back feed to Jaren Jackson, who lays it in. Gets fouled, and he'll get one more. Ja Morant with a highlight reel pass. Jaren Jackson Jr. running the floor, and the Grizzlies have opened up a 15-point lead. Timeout Spurs.
That was a thing of beauty.
Yes, absolutely.
Ja behind his back to Jaren on the run, lays it in for the and one. It was like, it was all the questions about Ja and Jaren answered in one highlight. Absolutely spectacular. It's funny because over at the Daily Memphian today, you got a piece by Drew and a piece by Chris. And Drew is writing about Ja and Jaren. That's the pair that he's fundamentally writing about. The fact that the Grizzlies need them both to be at their best and at their best together. Chris is writing about Ja and Gigi, the South Carolina connection. That was the other pairing that was on display last night. We haven't seen them. As we know, last year, before this year, they'd never played together, period. They're both from South Carolina, both incredibly gifted. And when you see Gigi's explosiveness, you think, you know what? There's a guy who should be able to play pretty well off of Ja. We'll give folks a little Gigi Jackson here, two Gigi Jackson highlights.
Four-year retirement in a positive way as Morant finds a wide-open Gigi Jackson underneath, and he dunks it home with two hands. Fourth assist for Morant, a 19-0 run. Robin Hood, proud sponsor of the Memphis Grizzlies. They're right there on the jerseys each and every night. Vassell, a right wing. Barnes in the lane. He loses the handle. Picked up by Kennard. Kennard into the front court. Gives for Jaren Jackson. Jackson hands it off for Gigi Jackson. Open right wing three. Ring it up. Put three on the board. It is all Grizz on this second night of a back-to-back. 56-37. They are cooking right now.
And while we're at it, Jeffrey, let's go to 15, 16, and 18. All Gigi, and one of them a lob from Ja.
Morant leads the charge. Gets the step on Harrison Barnes. Lobs to the rim for Gigi Jackson, who lays it up and in on the alley-oop over Devin Vassell. Morant will get his seventh assist, and Jackson with a beautiful finish on the right side of the glass. Rebounded by Gigi Jackson, who gets his third board. Morant, Gigi, and Jaren Jackson each out there. Gigi Jackson straightaway three off the feet for Morant. Ring it up, put three on the board. And the Grizzlies just like that, back up by 16. Morant will pick up his eighth assist, and Gigi Jackson has 16. Ooh. Jackson working on Sochan. Wembanyama threatens a double team. Out to Gigi Jackson. Open, looking at three. Ring it up. Put three on the board. If Wembanyama sags for the double team, that is going to be a problem.
Let's go to 19 and 20 again. Gigi Jackson, we were, quote-unquote, worried about. Zach Edey, we were, quote-unquote, worried about. One of the nice things they did with Zach Edey last night, was it felt like they ran a few more pick and rolls with Edey and Ja Morant. That's something that Chris has been indicating he thought would be incorporated into the offense, and it has been. Zach Edey last night was 16 and 14.
With the ball and a 12-point lead. Here's Morant from the top. Morant lobs into the lane for Edey. There it is. That's what they envisioned as Edey thumps home the two-handed alley-oop. The high pick and roll, the assist to Morant, the dunk for Edey. He's got 10. G. Jackson, left wing rhythm, three. No good. Follow jam, Zach Edey, as he pokes home his 12th point, grabs his ninth rebound. The big fella, there was nobody underneath to box him out.
Yeah, and I love that transition. I mean, good defense and transition offense.
Castle goes into the body of Morant.
And let's wind up with Gigi's last windmill dunk, just to put a capper on this one, Jeffrey.
Duke will drive to the bucket, miss the layup, rebound grabbed by Yuki Kawamura. Long lead out ahead for Gigi Jackson. It will go to the rim and jam with a right hand.
Yuki to Gigi.
Highlight reel action, 128-107. Spurs, I don't think, took too kindly to that, but...
Yeah, they might not have taken too kindly of it. In fact, Ja, after the game, according to Chris, said he would have backed it back out had he been Gigi Jackson. So you live and learn. Yet another massive win for the Grizzlies. I don't know, Jeffrey, how are you feeling about the home squad?
You know, you feel as as good as you can. I mean, they're starting to build a little bit of gap between them and Houston. You know, this is kind of the thing that I've paid attention to recently. It feels like we're starting to get more intensity, and I think we're having a little bit more fun during the regular season games. They feel like they're a little bit more significant. But I think kind of in the back of your mind, you're still just, you know, it's all all about the playoffs.
Why don't we
enjoy the ride?
Why don't we feel better? In other words, I do think, they're fourth in the entire NBA. They're second in the West. They've won 9 of 10. Jaren has emerged as not just the best version of Jaren that we've ever seen, but a version of Jaren that we never thought we would ever see. Really, really, never imagined we would ever see. And so why don't we? Because I think, yeah, of course you have to prove it in the playoffs, just like the Cavs have to prove it in the playoffs. But I don't think in Cleveland they're saying, I'll hang on and wait till the playoffs. I think they're exulting in this glorious season that they're having. And yet I think there is a feeling in Memphis and about Memphis nationally that, yeah, this is all nice, but you get to the playoffs and they're no better than Dallas, no better than the Lakers, no better than Denver, no better than, you know, on and on and on. There's Oklahoma City, and then there's everybody else, no better than Houston. And they're just in the mass with everybody else. And they're like, it is interesting, isn't it, that we don't actually feel better about them. Why aren't we exultant over these Grizzlies right now? And by the way, we also had a very positive medical report, as both Marcus Smart and Vince Williams were upgraded to doubtful. Like, our Grizzlies cup runneth over. Why aren't we more exultant?
I think part of it is because we've seen the Grizzlies finish second in the West and once get bounced in the first round, and then the other time lose a pretty emotional series against the Warriors. And then I think kind of in the back of everyone's mind, there's this question of, we know they're regular season good, but are they postseason good?
I think some of it, too, is, I agree with that. I think some of it is, we don't even know really who they are. You know,
sure.
You could argue that the uncertainty, the ever shifting lineup and whatever should be a reason to feel even better about them. But I think we're not even sure who they are. You know, like it changes so much. Gigi Jackson's just coming back, and now Vince might be coming back, and now Marcus might be coming back. In order to believe in something, take my Buffalo Bills. If you believed in the Bills before the playoffs began, well, good on you, man, because I didn't, because I'm wired to not believe anymore. But no, if you believed in the Bills, you knew what you were believing in.
Yeah.
Right? You knew, well, I'm believing in Josh, and I'm believing in this defense that gets turnovers, and I'm believing in James Cook, and I'm believing in
offensive line.
I don't think you necessarily know exactly what you're believing in if you are believing in the Grizzlies. And to the extent that you do, you know, are you believing in two rookies? Are you believing like in the starting lineup? Are you like, it's just an interesting thing. And I do hope people are enjoying the ride, because it has been one hell of a ride recently. I did, by the way, when we were speaking of the really tense incident last night, I got a text from someone who sent me a story, and this was before I got to Memphis, from 1982, that a referee died of a heart attack at the Mid-South Coliseum. Text from someone who said they saw that in person, which was unbelievably tragic and whatever. And obviously the kind of thing that stays with you for a long time. We're going to hope that this guy is okay. I have gotten a text from Jarvis, who is echoing my sentiment. You wouldn't expect anything less from Jarvis, would you, Jeffrey?
Of course not.
Enjoy the journey, he says. That should be the mantra, because once it's over, it's over. This is pure Jarvis, isn't it? Live in the moment or you'll miss it. Feel good now and don't worry yourself. Believe me, life's too short. People can analyze things to death and it takes the fun out of the whole enterprise. Does it take the fun out of the enterprise or is it part of the fun of the enterprise?
Yeah, I definitely think there's some of like, how do you view sports? I think also, though, I don't think this is a Grizzly-centric problem, Memphis-centric problem. Like, I do think that this is a state of the NBA in which we don't know how to categorize regular season success.
I think we are particularly, though. Again, I don't think in Cleveland right now they're sitting here.
But I think the key difference is, like, while they've had LeBron and they've won a title, like, this group is kind of ascending. You know what I mean? Like, even though, like, they put more together.
Yeah, why aren't the Grizzlies ascending? Cleveland was disappointing in the playoffs last year. Like, why aren't, you know, had to fire their, why aren't the Grizzlies ascending? Why don't we feel, I mean, Cleveland's been better, among other things. Like, Cleveland has been better. Memphis is fourth, but Cleveland has been better. Anyway, I hope people are having a good time with it, because last night, I mean, you follow up. I mean, to Jarvis's point, life is short. We the whole thing was played out in front of us last night. A reason to sit there and just be happy you got to watch Ja and Gigi Jackson and and Jaron blooming before our eyes. By the way, Drew Hill has a second installment of his stunning series on Jaron Jackson Jr., where he takes you today. Jaron takes you into the Everglades. So don't miss that one over at the Daily Memphian. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back in a moment, and we will talk to Chris Harrington himself straight up at 10 o'clock, and then Fish on Friday after that. I will remind you that if you are selling your house, Josh Heisa would be the person to call, 901-461-8147, 901-461-8147. Josh has the buyers.com is the website. More than 305 star reviews. So you pop on over to the website, and by the way, you can put in your address, and within a few seconds, you will get he'll tell you what your house is worth. Josh will also make an instant cash offer at full market value for your home. Flexible fees, no upfront costs, lets you out of your contract at any time, risk-free. I met with him, and I'm like, come on, a realtor's a realtor. No, you meet with Josh Heisa, you'll see what I'm talking about. Phone numbers 901-461-8147, Josh and his team at Keller Williams, or joshhasthebuyers.com. Back in a moment, Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey. I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Valentine's Day is coming up, and over at Robert Irwin Jewelers, they got the trifecta. Shop now through Valentine's Day. Get a dozen fresh roses, box of chocolates, free with any purchase of $99 or more. Get a voucher. So, yeah, you don't want the roses today. I get that. You get a voucher. So, you get your free roses, free box of chocolates, and whatever beautiful thing you happen to pick out. So, for example, Love's Crossing Diamond Necklace is a stunning necklace. Timeless design symbolizes the beautiful bond you share, starting at $199. 2-carat lab-grown diamond tennis bracelets. It's one of the hottest gifts of the season. Just $7.99. You're going to get engaged. They've got engagement rings starting at $29.99. So again, free chocolate, free roses, 12 months interest-free, honestly, in addition, financing. Plus whatever beautiful thing you settle on to make someone very happy this Valentine's Day. Shop early for the best selection. Bigger, brighter diamonds, better prices, Robert Irwin Jewelers, 5 locations, or shop online at rijewelers.com. Got some more particulars, Jeffrey, on the Mid-South Coliseum incident that a lot of people seem to remember. Tournament game between Tulane and Wyoming. Does that make sense? Jerry Yarbrough, 41 years old of Meridian, Mississippi, collapsed with about six minutes left in the first half as Wyoming was moving down the court. Doctors and paramedics at Mid-South Coliseum applied electric shocks to his chest in an effort to revive him before he was taken to the hospital. But he passed away, sadly. So, again, this is something people remember. This is from back in 1982. We're going to hope that last night's tragic scene, tense scene, hopes played out more favorably for all concerned. All right, Jeffrey, we do have a bunch of other things that we have to get to before Chris Harrington's going to join us straight up at 10 o'clock, then Fish on Friday on Tuesday after that. I did, by the way, get a someone tweeted at me that they hope that Chris gives Gigi a little credit, finally. Chris has been telling people, whoa, super talented guy, but maybe the fan base is a little out ahead of G.G. Jackson if they expect him to just step in and be a star right away. It seems to me to be a reasonable take, but some people don't agree with that a patient approach. And so I heard from them, given G.G.'s game last night, heard from them hoping that Chris Harrington would give G.G. more credit. And so we'll talk to Chris straight up at 10 o'clock. So, Jeffrey, there is NFL news, okay? And the NFL news, we got the Myles Garrett story yesterday that he has asked to be traded. And then we got the response from the Browns that, no, we are not going to trade you. I'm going to ask you for a simple prediction, Jeffrey. When the season opens up, the NFL season opens up, will Myles Garrett be a Cleveland Brown?
I'm going to say no.
And what's your thinking?
So I think the Browns have to say, no, he's going to be a Brown, because I think this has officially reached the negotiation point.
I think I agree. I also agree with what they were saying on Unsportsmanlike this morning. Caveat. What he is asking for to be dealt also happens to be best for the Browns.
Right.
Like, he's 28, 29. He's got two more years on his contract. Let's be honest. The Browns are not going to win a Super Bowl in the next 2 years. And so, hell, and they may stink enough that they could get in the Arch Manning sweepstakes. So if you deal Myles Garrett, and I was hearing people speculate about what you could get for him. I just like... Jason and John were at first talking about getting a second for him. No. You're certainly getting a first for him. You may well get multiple firsts for him, or like, say, the Bills. The Bills have a first and 2 seconds, right? They have their first, and they have their second, and they have Minnesota's second.
Yep.
I think they'd give it all up instantly.
Yeah.
Here.
No, I mean,
go ahead, take it. Take that. You know, you're trying to win a Super Bowl. I think you give up your first and your 2 seconds, and you'd be happy with that deal. So I think you can get multiple draft picks, maybe not multiple firsts, although Khalil Mack got you multiple firsts once upon a time. And honestly, that wasn't some hideous trade. The Bears didn't have the success with him that they would have liked to have had. But he
Khalil was
a tremendous player.
He was still a good player, yeah.
Still a really good player. It wasn't his fault, you know, whatever. Like, and they had some good years. So you give up multiple firsts for I would happily, if you wanted the Bills first this year and next year, take it away. If you're that desperate, or you're the Lions or whatever, I think you get multiple high premium draft picks is what I would say for him. But then the other suggestion that was made, who says no? J.J. McCarthy for Myles Garrett.
I think the Browns say no, correct?
Do the Browns say no? They need a quarterback.
Are you not at least a little bit worried that he's coming off an injury? There was a setback, whatnot. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we haven't seen him play. We know Myles Garrett is a true impact player at an impact position.
I think you're right. I think the Browns say no to that, but what if it's J.J. McCarthy and, you know, J.J. McCarthy and a first? Vikings first and J.J. McCarthy. Then, obviously, they would have to believe in J.J. McCarthy,
right.
And we
the
don't
problem
know
is I don't. Yeah, I don't know what their scout was on him.
Yeah.
Now,
I will say this.
Kevin O'Connell and Stefanski, they're cut from the same tree.
So, yeah, so if they believed in him last year and if they get decent medicals, I think J.J. McCarthy, of course, if you're the Vikings, does that mean you stick with Sam Darnold? Does that put a ceiling? You're trying to win a Super Bowl. Do you think you can win a Super Bowl with Sam Darnold? I mean, if you go get Myles Garrett, it's because we think we can win a Super Bowl with Myles Garrett. But that means that you, or do you just, do you Yeah, what do you do if you're the Vikings? What do you do if you're the Vikings in that situation?
If you're making that deal, doesn't that, to me, that implies you're not franchising Darnold. You're trying to come up with a contract, right? Wouldn't you agree with that? Rather than having him just play on
true.
The because if he just plays on the franchise,
no. Yeah, no. It's just, yeah, you're just literally for managing money and for at that point you're trading J.J. McCarthy. You're saying Sam Darnold is your quarterback of the future, 100%.
And to me, it's like, I think that Sam was kind of viewed as bridge slash insurance. And to me, it's like, I think they really still probably believe in McCarthy. I think they would want to test it before.
So you think they both say no? They say no because they really believe they don't want to give away a quarterback of the future, even for Miles Garrett.
I think they could make a deal. I just don't know if it would include JJ.
That's right. Yeah. Oh, no, no. That's fine. I'm both say no to that deal.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. You don't think, in fact, the JJ deal would work from the Cleveland side or from the Minnesota side?
No, because I think the other problem with Cleveland is, like, Cleveland's sitting here with a top two pick, and most don't really believe that they're going to go quarterback. Most think that they're going to try to do the veteran-type quarterback, whether they, you know, the Baker, the Goff, you know, the get somebody on another 100%. Opportunity. Like, to me, yeah. Honestly, Darnold, I could see them wanting Darnold more than JJ.
What if you're the Browns? In fact, wouldn't it be like you trade Myles Garrett? Let's just say the Buffalo trade, but that's because that warms my heart. Okay. So all of a sudden you've got your top five. Are they two?
They are two.
So you got the number two pick. You then got a pick in the 20s from the Bills. And then you've got 3 seconds. Like all of a sudden you're starting to rebuild your team. The only problem with it, honestly, is that the coach and GM have been there for a while.
Yeah.
And so I think it is best for the Browns to deal Myles Garrett and to rebuild and to just tear it down and get a whole bunch of picks and you could be relevant again in 2 years. I don't know if it's best for the coach and GM, right? Like
that's the same issue that the Giants are kind of going
through. The Giants have. When your timeline for the Giants and for the Browns is got to win now to keep my job, it isn't necessarily the best thing for your franchise. Anyway, I agree with you. I think he will be dealt. And I don't think it'll likely be to the Bills because there are other teams, I think, that have more to give, et cetera. But I think he will likely be dealt. We heard that Cooper Kupp, the Rams are going to be shopping Cooper Kupp yesterday. We learned more about that. We heard that the Commanders, Jeffrey, are going to remain the Commanders. It's really the only downside of the year that they had this year, it seems to me, is that Josh Harris, the owner, said, I think the name is now being embraced by our team and our fan base, and so we're going to go with that. And I do think that when you put together the run that they did this year as the Commanders, you're like, okay, we'll live with it. You know, don't you think? I mean, I think their success this year is one of the reasons they're keeping it. Why change?
So I've always heard that the name change was coming, but it wasn't going to be, it was going to be like in conjuncture with when they open up their new stadium. Yeah. Like it was going to be like a full rebrand.
Yesterday he said, we're going to go with this, but maybe not.
I do think your point though, I think the fact that they had success this year, I think it everyone's like, okay, whatever.
Yeah, I don't think anyone is attributing the success to the stupid name.
No.
But people are like, whatever, you know.
No, I don't think people are going, you know, the reason why we're winning is because we're the Commanders.
Yeah, don't mess with a good thing. I don't think it's that. But I just think there's a feeling of warmth around the entire franchise. So people spend less energy hating on the stupid name. Jags named Tony Boselli, executive VP of football operations. He was, of course, the first pick that the franchise ever made. Tony Boselli, tremendous offensive lineman, has been a radio analyst. I saw some place where it was described that he is replacing Trent Baalke, but then I've seen other places say they're going out to hire a GM as well. It would seem like Tony Boselli would need a GM, an actual GM, working with him. Anything else strike you from the world of the NFL?
What's Kupp's value?
I think modest. With that contract and his play,
it's just injuries, right?
Yeah, no. He's like, you see some veterans like the Myles Garrett veteran who can command multiple firsts or whatever. Cooper Kupp is in the category of if they can get a third or a fourth or something. To me, I don't think it is particularly high value. In other trade news, this from the NBA, we did hear from Luka's dad.
Yep.
Who is mad, Jeffrey? He's mad. Now, I would play the radio clip, but it's in Slovenian.
Yeah.
And so, is that the language?
I believe
so. Slovenian? Yeah. Okay. Anyway, and he's angry that that he believes it's hypocrisy, and he's angry because listen, he said he played over 100
Slovene.
Games. Slovene?
Yes.
Is the language?
Yes.
Hmm. Slovenian, but not Slovenian, just Slovene.
It appears you can do both.
Anyway, he's mad because he thinks that that Luka is being dragged by the Mavs. And of course he is. Like, you can't make that trade without implicitly saying we don't believe in Luka, right? They didn't come out and say he's fat, right? They didn't, but they talked about culture and he is being dragged. And if let's be clear, if this is causes him to stop eating donuts and stop whining at officials and take like and be better at guarding and whatever else, well, I will lament that because I want him to
yeah,
be at least.
You know what my real fear is?
What's that?
You know the best way to lose weight?
Go to L.A.?
Yeah.
Because everybody's skinny in L.A.
Everybody's skinny. There's a lot of peer pressure. And then also,
let me ask you, though,
food's not that great.
Food's not that great. People are fat in Texas, but are they fat in Dallas?
Dallas is definitely more ritzy, glitzy. But yeah, I mean, you can still eat real good in the neighborhood in Dallas.
Yeah, I don't want him to lose weight.
No, and I want him
to be as chunky as self he can be.
Ozempic's definitely more frequently used out in L.A.
You can't on it. If you can't, you can't be an athlete on Ozempic.
That sounds like a challenge.
Anyway, we heard that. But then also, Jeffrey, in some of these, now you're getting these stories inside the trade,
yep.
Right? Whatever. And I'll say this. I did hear a explanation in these stories, insider stories, as to why they didn't put him, you know, on the open market that makes sense to me.
All right, let's hear it.
If they had put it on the open market, A, there would have been a tremendous backlash in Dallas.
Yep.
That would have sunk the trade. And B, his agent would have gotten involved in a way. Like, we've seen a lot of trades recently, you know, that have cratered for one reason or another. Possible trades recently that have cratered. And the idea is that this, if we had talked about this openly, if our real goal is to get out of the Luka business, we would have had our fans, like, would have been rioting. Like, the protests that they did after the fact, it's sweet and all that, but it's done, you know? Like, whereas if you think that you can actually change the course of things, I think it would have a much louder response and might have had a way of tanking it. And then they were worried that Luka's agent would have gotten involved as well. And I don't know whether steered him out of L.A. I mean, he's not going to get the kind of money in L.A. that he would have gotten in Dallas and whatever. And so they definitely wanted this thing to go through. They knew what they wanted to do. And they thought the best chances of it going through would be if they kept it secret. What do you think? Yeah. I'm believing that explanation.
Yeah, I am. I'm buying the, let's keep it quiet, let's keep it close, because they decided to move on. I'm still unclear on why they decided to move on. It's not 1,000% clear to me that it was just Nico Williamson being, or is it Richardson? It's still unclear to me that Nico was just fed up and that I'm out of it.
Well, I mean, it's a combination of things to me. To me, I don't understand how there can be any other explanation than, we don't believe in Luka at that price. In other words, it's both of those things. It's the Supermax that was looming. And so we didn't want to give him a Supermax because of these other things.
Did you see the ownership theory that was sweeping the internet yesterday?
What was the ownership theory?
So there is a Mavs season ticket holder. Literally, I think he's held season tickets since the beginning. And he's an attorney and he's very familiar with Texas legislature. And the Adelson ownership group, their whole goal, because this came out when Cuban first sold, was that they had this vision of having a casino style resort in the biggest untapped market in all the country, which was going to be Texas. and the centerpiece would be Mavs Arena. Mavs, basically, it's the Venetian Dallas featuring the Dallas Mavericks, or with a Dallas Mavericks residency. And they went through, they spent lots of money on lobbyists, and it didn't work. And this is their beginning of tearing it down so that they can have pressure to, okay, well, if you're not going to do this for us, we're just going to go to Vegas.
Tearing it down, so...
And you wouldn't have it goes into the...
I don't buy it. I just don't buy that someone would leave the Dallas market. And I don't believe that they would be allowed to leave the Dallas market. And I don't believe that the NBA would let them have Vegas. You know, they want an expansion team in Vegas. I just don't... So you're going to suck? This is literally trying to get your team to suck? Yeah, I don't buy it. Do you buy it? Do you believe this theory?
Believe is probably too strong. It's the classic, I'll take your literature on this.
Yeah, I'll take your literature on this. That's fine. All right. We got Chris Harrington next. We got Fish on Friday on Tuesday. After that, I'm a little wary of talking tariffs, but he wants to talk a little bit about tariffs. So we will talk about tariffs and other matters. It should be a fun second hour. It is the Jeff Gawkins Show, 93.9 FM ESPN.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey's State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry and get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.